and it went like.
Hi, everybody. This is Patty Toledo. We are here with the first episode of Buas Games Grind Set. I will be bringing people every week to talk to you about game development, about game business, about interesting things, games related, of course. After all, we are CMGT, Buas Game Development Degree, and we want to promote not only our lecturers, they are the best of the best of the best, and I'm going to prove it to you here, but also to make game development better in general. Like, let's save the world with game development. And the first episode, we have Marlon Nove, our teacher here. Marlon, how are you?
I'm good, Patty. Thank you.
So let's start with intros. First of all, for the people that don't know me, because saying I'm Patty Toledo, it's great, if depending where you are, who you are, it might mean absolutely nothing for you. I am the manager of the game department here at Buas, and CMGT that we call. I also have been in the games industry for ages, way too long. Don't guess my age, please. And that's it. Like, I have been everywhere. It's not about me. Marlon, how about you?
So my name is Marlon. I teach at Buas in the game track. I'm originally from Belgium, but after I graduated, I moved to California. And so professionally, my background is mainly animation and character animation. For a long time, I worked at Disney Feature Animation in Burbank, where I animated on movies like Tangled and Frozen and Big Hero 6 and all those great projects. But I also worked on games a lot. I worked at Blizzard on Overwatch 2. I worked for Riot for Valorant, and then a bunch of stuff at Blur Studio. And my most recent project was for Secret Level, where I worked on the Warhammer episode.
So really little stuff that nobody ever heard about.
Look it up. It's great.
Yeah. How did you end up here in Buas?
So about 3 years ago, I remember I'm from Belgium. I was living in America, and I sort of had it in a lot of ways. Professionally, I had sort of checked all the boxes of what I wanted to do. Romantically, I got divorced. So it was sort of a pivotal moment. And actually, it was something I thought I would never do. Like, when I was living in California for a long time, it was really nice. And then as I was getting older, I was thinking, you know what? I think I want to go back. And then all of a sudden, the sort of urge to go back got really strong. And I'm happy I did. So now I'm back living in Brussels in Belgium. I have a great new girlfriend. I'm engaged. And professionally, it was still a question mark. I was really happy to be back, was with family and friends, but professionally, it took a while for me to find my footing. And then I got invited by Neville, who works at Buas, a friend of mine, who I worked with 25 years ago, and he showed me the place. And of all the places I checked out, looking for what my next chapter would be professionally, Buas instantly spoke to me. It really clicked. On a lot of levels. Back in California, I taught at Art Center, which is a college of design. I started an animation track. So the way we worked at Art Center, I was there for 7 years. The way we worked there, a lot of it reminded me, well, a lot of the stuff at Buas reminded me of Art Center. It was it feels like a very professional sort of hands-on education with not a lot of bullshit. And just like doing things, which I love. And then I met Patty, and I met a lot of people here that it just clicks. And it's one of those things you just know is a good thing. So I'm super happy to be here.
Nice. And we're very happy to have you. So, but I wanted to start with how you started your career. Like, how did you get in this area? How did you get with animation and visual arts in general?
Yeah, so my spark was I love video games. So when I was playing video games, when I was around 10, 11 upwards, very quickly, I sort of had an interest in like how they were made. So I started by myself at home on my Amiga, Commodore Amiga, which I don't know if everyone knows, but it was a great computer back in the 90s. Just trying to figure out how animation was done, how games were made in terms of level design, very basic stuff. I wasn't a genius who just figured it out. But I was just scratching the surface while I was still in high school. It was actually my dad who told me, like, look, this is a thing. This is a job. And I'm very grateful for that moment. And I guess when you think of parenting, that's sort of what that is. Like, it's your parents sort of guiding you to something without forcing it, but just illuminating the fact that I was doing something that was getting traction, right? Late 90s, it was just before Toy Story came out. So he sort of pushed me, well, gently nudged me that direction. So then high school, graduated, went to art school in Ghent in Belgium. Very traditional education, very much drawing, very no computers. And when I was there, there was one professor who sort of started pushing computer animation. I started doing that. And then when I graduated, I was lucky enough to start a job in Brussels for 2 years doing commercials and whatnot. That's where I met Neville. And then I applied at studios in California. It was always sort of a dream to go there because back in the 90s in Europe, there wasn't a whole lot. But in California, there was Pixar, there was DreamWorks, there was Disney, there's all these game studios. So I applied, didn't get in any of them except Blur Studio. And that's one of those like things in life as well. You have to be a little lucky. So when I tell students when they apply for internships or whatnot, it's just don't give up, because a lot of times when they don't hire you, don't reply, it's not necessarily about you. It's like they have to have a budget for you. There has to be a need for you.
It's the timing.
The timing, yeah, is everything. So I really wanted to go to Disney, but the timing wasn't right. But Blur Studio wanted me, so I went there and had a great time. And then 6 years later, I was able to join Disney.
One thing we always tell the students as well is don't close doors. Is if something is a no now, doesn't mean it's a no forever, right?
Absolutely. Yeah, because the more you work, the more you meet people, the more that can lead to things much later. So you don't want to upset too many people or burn too many bridges or lose hope. Or like me working at Blizzard really came out of meeting Jeff, who was working at Disney. Why I was at Disney is because I met someone else at Blur. So like it all connects for sure, and it all builds up a network. So definitely keep networking and be okay with the fact that not everything pans out right away.
We can do a whole podcast on networking, but I wanted to go on. You worked on a lot of very impressive projects, a lot of projects that people that even don't know anything about games or animation immediately know. But I wanted to look a little bit on the background of that. Is could you tell like one project that you thought either was extremely challenging or like special, anything that you think that was that really marked you as a professional?
Yeah, no, I mean, I think every project and every studio had challenges, and nothing was perfect ever. Also, when you work on big projects, you don't know they're going to be big when you work on them. And that's sort of something I've learned mainly at Disney, where sometimes you tend to not enjoy things because you might be worried people are going to like it or is it going to be successful. And so my advice would be when you're on a project, just really enjoy it for what it is when you're on it and not necessarily for what it's becoming after the game gets released or the movie. So, but I think two projects spring to mind that were really challenging. The first one was Frozen, the movie. Again, we didn't know Frozen was going to become Frozen. we thought, you know, like this was sort of a challenging times at Disney. We decided to do Frozen. It was going to be a musical. A lot of people didn't like musicals. I'm not a huge fan of musicals. So it wasn't really clear that thing was going to be what it became. But the biggest challenge in that movie for me was the schedule. I worked many weekends. I believe I worked 21 weekends straight,
wow,
which was really tough. And that was sort of the seed that made me leave Disney. So you can work on something super successful, but still come out of it going like, look, this is not for me. And I started to realize that these movies were really taking over my life. And my son back then was, I want to say, 5, 6. So it was a whole thing. But I did the work. I'm happy I did it. Disney paid really well. If you work Sundays, you get paid 3 times the salary. So there's good sides to it. And I, the way I look at it, because some people will complain about schedules in studios, I'm like, it takes two to tango. Like, Disney never sort of hid the fact that their schedules are tough. So it's then up to you if you want to do it or not. And if you commit to a project knowing that the schedules are tough, then you shouldn't be complaining because you knew it beforehand. But it was really hard. So that was tough. And then the second project was Blizzard, Overwatch 2. I felt the hierarchy was very, there was a lot of people involved and a lot of changes, changes late in the game because certain people hadn't seen something late. And so that to me, I remember, was challenging, but at the same time, it was great. You know, you get to work on this huge game. I was very fortunate. So I'm not saying that in a complaining way, but in terms of challenge, the hierarchy was hard. It was also all remote. So that brought a whole set of problems where you just don't get to meet with the people you want to meet at certain times because you're...
Was it during the pandemic?
No, it was after.
It was just remote.
Yeah, they set up this whole thing. So yeah, Frozen and Overwatch 2, I think, were really challenging. But then again, every project had its ups and downs for sure. And I think when you look at artists and same with students, it's easy to work on a project that goes well. That's not what makes you. It's when it goes all to shit or like it's hard, then that's when a true good artist shines because that person will take the challenge and get through it without upsetting people.
But it's true. The saying is that you learn nothing when you have a success. You learn from the failures, the problems, the shit shows.
Yeah, absolutely. No, and that's it. Like when I'm working now on a project, the decisions I make are much more precise and the correct ones. But that's only because I made all those mistakes. So now I know what not to do, which leaves me with knowing what to do mostly. Which really helps.
Yeah, and also because you worked with a lot of very tight schedules, I think you're probably way better to plan how your projects are going to go. You have a better eye on what is going to take longer and how to measure that, right?
Yeah, and also when things change or, you know, stuff doesn't work, you much more easily will make decisions to get it back on track.
True. But was there, you worked also in smaller projects. Is there between the biggest projects and the smaller ones, do you have a preference? Do you prefer working on super big teams or in the smaller ones? Like, or are them all the same? Like, we always have something that is closer to our heart, that not necessarily better or worse, but what is closer for you?
So, my favorite, looking back, my favorite times were when I was working at Blur, which was a smaller studio. So why is that? Because I got to do more things that would trust me with different tasks, not just animating, which is really nice. Because it's smaller, you tend to make friends more. So in terms of like just pure emotion, I liked the smaller project better. But I'm not going to... it's really fun to work on something like Frozen when it comes out and it wins all the Oscars and it gets all the recognition. And for example, like I worked on Tangled and I went to, so I was living in California. The movie came out and then I traveled back to Belgium in the summer to visit my family. And we were walking past this playground and these kids were playing and they were acting out a scene I animated. Which was
so nice.
Yeah. Such a weird loop to be in Belgium looking at kids that acting out a scene I did back in California. I mean, this kind of stuff it's really fun. And you know, so the big projects do that kind of thing. You know, just there's all the recognition and the realization that whatever you did sort of spreads literally global, which is fun.
So now you're at Buas, completely like in Breda, smaller city, completely different approach. Do you see any parallel between what you're doing with the students here and how it was? Like, how are you bringing everything that you learned like throughout your career to the students here?
Yeah, I would say my production experience totally matches almost one-to-one to what the students are doing. And the goal is to at least, especially in year three, to sort of give them the experience of working in a team on a game and take them from start to finish. And all the stuff that I'm trying to teach them directly relates to my experience in production. So I meet with the students and the teams every week, and I look at what they're doing. I give them feedback, and it's all driven by what I know and what I experienced. And that's why I like working here. I'm not the type of, I don't even call myself professor, because I'm not the guy in front of the classroom at the whiteboard. I wouldn't be good at that. I know that.
Happily, we don't have to do that here.
Exactly. But what I love doing is I just came out of a meeting now, just like you sit down with the students and you go through whatever they're working on. And you sort of guide them, inspire them, you know, tell them like, look at this, look at that. You could do it this way. Or you try to look ahead and see like, okay, I see you're making this character, but it's going to have to do this facial animation. How are you going to do this? And then you see the students sort of look at you like, we don't know. And then I'm like, well, this is how I would do it, you know. So that sort of is still the same. But less stressful, I guess, because it's not my deadline in the end of the day.
And also nice. Not billions of dollars of budget that you can burn on the process. Yeah.
And now working in summer.
Yeah, true. Yeah. That's actually true. Yeah. So for the guys that are listening, our intake is open. If you want to come and study with us and study with Marlon, that's the opportunity now for that. I want to ask, for the people that know nothing about Buas, that are going to be listening about the what we do here for the first time, and because you're also new here, Marlon has been around for, it will be almost
May,
a year
right?
now.
Almost
May
a year.
Is a year.
Yeah.
How would you explain for the students what to expect coming, fresh from a first year working?
Yeah, so I find, are you talking about like what it would be like for a game student? Or in general?
In general. A student coming, applied, got in, yay. What should they expect?
Yeah, so from what I'm seeing, you can expect a very professional-driven education. It's very hands-on. It's very precise. When I look at all the stuff that people are doing here, nothing is redundant. It's all very practical. I also think that it allows you to specialize, which is great. It doesn't make you do things that will not matter in your professional career at all. So it's a very lean, precise, hands-on education. The campus is great. The facilities are nice. It's right by the train station. I know because I take the train to Brussels every day. So even from Brussels, it's not that bad. It's long, but it's not bad. The city itself is very clean, very quaint.
Cozy.
I
find it very cozy. Like, it has everything that a big city should have, but it's everything is slightly like smaller and closer to each other.
It's like SimCity. It's like all very organized.
Yeah, it's all there.
But yeah, overall, that's why I want to work here. I want it, and I am working here. It sort of reminds me of an American campus in that like it's big. It's got like two big cafeteria or three. Like, so it's a little village on its own.
Mm-hmm.
If I compare that to what I went to in Ghent, which was sort of like this rundown building, there's none of that here. It's all, you can see where the money goes in terms of facilities and people and just the overall experience. So that's what I think you will experience when you join Buas.
Yeah, I also have been here only for 6 months. But one thing that for me was quite impressive was in a university, in a small city in the Netherlands, and you have one of the top universities in the world with an XR stage that most big universities in Europe don't have, and you use the XR stage quite a lot with the animators as well.
Mm-hmm.
So I always found I was very impressed the first time I came, just thinking of that, like, for you wouldn't expect that in Breda, in the middle of the Netherlands. It's quite cool to see how they created the structure here, and it's growing all the time.
Yeah, and for me, in the end of the day, what really proves that this place is working is when the internships happen.
True.
You know, that's really, that's the only sort of real gauge, and that's the best reality check and test for this program, is that when I supervise students from year four, and a lot of them will go out to work for Laren Studios, Triumph, Gorilla, the big studios, like Laren Studios, like one of the biggest in the world now. They're in Ghent, my hometown. Woohoo!
Yeah.
And that's the real proof. Like, and that's the reality. Like, kids who graduate here will go on to do really cool internships and then jobs, and that's the best evidence of how well this place works.
Yeah. Also, the amount of people that get employed, because I think, especially nowadays, that the games industry is so shaken and people are so scared. The fact that our students get not only internship, but they get hired, and the companies are so happy working with us, it, for me, also says a lot. But again, it's always a surprise. It's small city in the middle of the Netherlands, and ta-da, you have a diamond in the middle of it. It's kind of funny.
Yeah, absolutely.
What advice would you give to the people that are listening and think, yes, I want to do that. I want to work on study in this university. I want to work in this field. Let's go in twofold. One is, what advice would you give them for the intake? And then the second part, what advice would you give them as a career? Because I think those are very different aspects.
Yeah. So I think the first thing would be, if you're passionate about games and you're really driven by games and you love games, then that'd be the first thing. For intake, really important is just when I do intake, so that means when we interview students to see if they're a good fit for BUAS, the biggest thing I look for is their spark and their imagination and their how driven they are. So anything you've already done, anything that relates to what we do, games, could be animation, could be a cool building you built or a little game that you made, goes a long way. And at the same time, your ability to draw and to express yourself artistically, those things are huge, right? So that those things are things I look for. And then in terms of going out in the industry, the way I always explain it is, so I'll take myself as an example. I always wanted to work at Disney, which is sort of a goal. So I retroactively sort of got there, right? I started at Blur, and then I went this way, and then I eventually went to Disney. So I would advise students to do the same. Like, try to focus your effort, because it allows you, I think, to be successful quicker. So if you have a certain type of games you like to work on, or a certain type of studio that you want to go for, the thing I would advise then is to really network, and that's sort of what we talked about earlier. And it's a thing you start doing a lot at BUAS, which is another strength. A lot of students go to certain studios. So if you want to go to Gorilla, you can already talk to BUAS students who has internships there right now. There's teachers who have worked all over the place. So, you know, a lot of networking, and just try to focus your attention to certain things that you really want to achieve, and don't go too broad.
There are two things you said that I wanted to go back. One of is you said about the intake from the point of view of visual artist, which is obvious. You are a visual artist. But one part that I thought it was really interesting is that certain characteristics are the same. It doesn't matter what are the variations that you want to do. Independent of you being programmer, designer, producer, visual artist, is the passion, the dedication, the real motivation and proactivity to do things, I think, is the bottom line for everything. Because if you really want to do something, you find ways to learn. You will have the energy to learn. We can teach you everything, But if you don't have motivation, there is nothing we can do, right? We can't force people. So I thought that's interesting that even though there are several differences between what is necessary to be a programmer or to be an artist or to be a designer, all game developers have that in the core. It's the passion, it's the love for games and the really desire to create something unique that will touch people, right?
Yeah, I agree. And it's one of those things like that passion and that drive, that's definitely something I look for. And when I see students do well, that's the common denominator they all have, whether it's level design or programming or visual arts. It's that personality. And you can quickly tell. It's amazing how quickly you can tell if that someone has it, you know. And it's a great, if you're driven and you have that passion and you know sort of like how to get on with things, it's a great asset for sure.
And the other thing that you said that I was like that stuck on is to have this higher goal that you want to have. I think a lot of people, they miss that. They like games. They know they want to be game developer, but they don't really have a clear goal of what they want to do. And that can make it's a bit overwhelmed, because one thing we say to everybody is game development is super fun. Not an easy job to have. You have to work a lot to get this done. And if you don't have that mountain that you want to climb, it might feel at times that you're not going anywhere if you're not doing that. So I really like that advice, because I think if it doesn't matter, you can have smaller milestones that you're going to reach. But if you really have that mountain that you want to climb, mm-hmm. It pushes you forward, right?
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, you know, like it, like you said, to have that clear goal will kind of serve as a guide of what choices you should make. And then you can break it down in smaller goals, right? If like for me, I wanted to work at Disney, so I knew I had to get really good character animation on my demo reel. So I was at Blur, so I started really sort of trying to get on projects that I knew would give me better animation, more character-driven, as opposed to maybe doing motion capture or whatnot. So you can make it more tangible and achievable if you break it down like that. Because, you know, it's one thing to say, hey, I want to work at, I'm just saying, like, I want to work at Blizzard. It could be daunting, right? And I think part of
sounds impossible, right?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
It sounds too much.
Yeah, but it's not. It really isn't. I mean, I've done it. And trust me, when I started art school, I wasn't that good. I'm the prime example of someone who was very mediocre and got to a certain level. So if I can do it, other people can do it too. And I think, you know, having that goal helps you to sort of focus your attention on what it needs to be that you need to do to get there. But it can be daunting. Oh, the thing I wanted to say is that it's okay if you're a student in year one or even year two that hasn't quite figured out what they want to do, you know, because everyone keeps saying you need the passion and the drive and the focus. But what about the kids who don't have it? So I think that's where, as a teacher, you come in, right, to really yep. sort of help them realize what they want to do. And most of the time, they figure it out, you know. If it's not from the beginning, then later on you figure out what drives you, what really excites you. But as faculty, it's sort of our role to kind of, you know, illuminate the path maybe a little bit for you, and then the spark starts happening. And that's the most fun part, right? When you have a student who's sort of like vague, or they don't quite know what they want to do, and then all of a sudden they start seeing it, and you feel that they start seeing it, and the starts flying. Actually, there's a student right now, like, who last year was sort of uncertain, and then now he's getting internships offers left and right. So it can happen very quickly once you know exactly what it is that you want to do.
Yeah, and we actually touched on them, but I wanted to end with exactly what you were saying, which is, what advice do we give to people that have no clue? So the kid that is at home that really loves games is thinking, maybe I could be a game developer, but has no clue what to do. and is trying to figure out. I know you talked about the focus, but maybe something else that we want to add. Like I would maybe add, don't freak out if you don't know. If you don't know, like reverse engineer the games that you like the most. Look what you like about the game. If it's only playing with nothing else, maybe it's not for you. But if you really like dissecting, understanding what is going on behind the game, there is something there that's a good start. Would you add something else? Like,
yeah, I think you can start broad, right? If you are excited about games, if you have a little bit of interest in like how are these things made, I might want to work in something like that. That could be enough, you know. And then you start diving into maybe. You know, there's so much stuff, even before you get to Boas, there's so much stuff online in terms of tutorials and workflows and how things are done. I would just try stuff, you know, simple things. I just tried to do facial motion capture myself with my phone in Unreal, very specific. It was super fun, you know, it's not that complicated. And so I would start doing things and just kind of, all you want is like sparks flying, right? So. Yep. Just try things.
Yeah, it's be curious, be bold.
Yeah. Because you can do it. It's not, you know.
Agree. And my last advice would be, don't let other people tell you that it's impossible or that it's too hard.
No, never.
Nothing is impossible, and too hard is only a barrier that you're putting for yourself.
Yeah.
If you really want to do something, you find a way.
I have an anecdote that, like, when I was in art school in year two, we went to London because in London they had a bigger animation scene. So I knew someone who graduated from my college who was working in London. So I contacted him. This is way before email. This was through telephone. So we called people. So anyway, I got to visit the studio, and I got there, and the guy was so negative. He was like, you'll never make it. Don't try. I mean, it's so hard, you know, like, and I remember coming out of that studio going like, F you. Like, yeah, I was so upset. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it really drove me to like, no, I'm doing it. Yeah, I'm, you know, and I wish I could go back to that person. You know what I mean? And go like, look at me now. Remember when you told me? You know, so yeah,
the pretty woman moment. Do you
know
that?
Yeah, exactly.
Like,
yeah,
oh,
yeah, yeah.
You work by commission. Yeah. Oh, silly you.
Yeah. So you're right. Like, people talking you down, it's usually because they don't feel good about themselves. And so try not to listen to them. And yeah, go for it, you know.
Marlon, thank you so much. This is awesome. And thank you, everybody, that listened to now. We come back next week, same time, same place. Well, it's online, so it's every time, every place. And thank you, and see you next week. And then it went like...